Asgo's, Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. I remember this was like when swing dancing, that was like, I was in like middle school or something, and swing
Ryan
dancing
Setzer.
Became very popular.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, friend of the show, friend of the network, really, let's be honest, and founder of the Recombobulation Area, Dan Schaefer is back for the next half hour to talk to us. I mean, we could just talk about potatoes. We could talk about the Bucks, but we should probably talk about the poll that came out yesterday.
Yeah, I guess. Hi, Kristen. Hi, Jane.
Did you finish your article before you joined us?
I finished part one.
Okay. So what are your, looking at what came out yesterday, surprised, not surprised, hopeful?
Not surprised. Okay. Hopeful as well. I will say that it's so interesting that we have, going into this election cycle, everybody thought, well, the two top of the ticket races in Wisconsin, they're going to be a toss-up. We have months of campaigning. We have all sorts of different things happening over the course of the year.
Hundreds of millions of dollars
spent on these races. And here we are, days to go, in the final pre-election poll from Marquette. The races are toss-ups.
Yep. Welcome to Wisconsin.
Welcome to Wisconsin. So I've written, I'm breaking this into a two-parter with our two top of the ticket races in my breakdown here for the final pre-election poll. So I just published the one on the Senate race. I think, we can get into that one, but I think it's, you know, pretty interesting that Mandela Barnes tightened the polls tightened for Mandela Barnes. He was down 6 in the early October poll, and now he is down just 2%. With just days to go before election
and a 5% margin of error.
So, and a 5% margin of error, exactly. So, and it's as toss up as it gets. And I, you know, it's kind of amazing if you really zoom out and think about it. So obviously, in a midterm, the party that is not in the White House traditionally picks up seats. Mm-hmm. Wisconsin's a 50-50 state. Republicans are an advantage year, but I think, you know, part of what I wrote in this piece is if you zoom out, take a bigger picture view of this Senate race, all the potential outcomes there could be, Mandela Barnes still being in a position to pull off an upset here is actually pretty remarkable. It's a 50-50 state in a Republican advantage year. He's going against a two-term incumbent. He's a 35-year-old who's never run a race like this.
Mm-hmm.
It's an economic environment that favors Republicans. Outside groups have outspent in favor of Johnson. And still, it's a 2% margin with less than a week to go. So I think this is actually a pretty encouraging result for Barnes in the home stretch here. And, you know, Ron Johnson has not run away with this race. It is still competitive right now. And there is still a path for Mandela Barnes to win.
It's because Obama came, isn't it? I'm kidding.
Think so?
I'm just kidding. Because that was the joke, right? Is that it's the Hail Mary, and we were both there. But I think you're totally right as far as the amount of. I put out a joke, not a joke. Next week on Tuesday, you're welcome to come if you want to stop by on Election Day if you need to. Roll out some anxiety, but we're going to start the show off on Tuesday, the morning of the election, with my friends who were at the roast of Milwaukee, who were the comedians, and they're going to come roast some political ads so we can all just make fun of the ridiculousness that we've all been subjected to on every single commercial break on any different medium that we're ever consuming any kind of content, be it radio, YouTube, Hulu, anything. And so we're going to make fun of some of these ads to let go some steam. But if you think about, and as I was asking Twitter last night to give me what they thought were the most ridiculous ones. And so many of them, obviously it's a little biased because of the people who choose to follow me, but some of the Barnes, the ads against Barnes and just how atrocious and deceitful and racist they were. And yet 50, almost, you know, within 2 point striking range, you're totally right as far as, and I don't know if that says more about the political leanings and how, you know, deeply committed at least 50% of the state is, or how much they don't like Johnson, or how much they feel committed to a Democratic policy agenda, or if it's just people were smart enough to know that those ads are BS.
Yeah, I published a piece earlier this week at the Recombobulation Area from our friend Angela Lang, and she wrote a piece about how Mandela Barnes has weathered these racist attack ads with grace and poise, and has really stayed above the fray when it comes to a lot of these attack ads in this race. And I think, you know, it points to the strength of his campaign. I think, you know, we've heard so many people picking at little things about this campaign here and there. He's in range at the, in the final stretch. That's where you want to be. I mean, this is not a year that is advantageous for Democrats largely. You know, I look back in my archives. I wrote last year that Johnson would be the favorite regardless of who his Democratic opponent would be. In August, when Mandela Barnes had a good post-primary poll, I cautioned that one good poll does not make him the favorite, and then Ron Johnson was still the favorite. Ron Johnson has been the favorite throughout this race and is the favorite going into Election Day. No one will be surprised if he wins this race. But I think the fact that Mandela Barnes is this close at this stage has to be encouraging for him, has to be encouraging for Democrats in Wisconsin.
Absolutely. We're talking to Dan Schaefer, who's the founder of the Recombobulation Area, friend of the show, friend of the network. So I know you haven't written your article on Tony Evers versus Tim Michaels, but at least initially, it feels like each poll that has come out, Michaels has ticked up a point to now that it's 48-48 with still 2% going to is it Jill Billinger? Is that how you pronounce her last name? Who had dropped out?
Beglinger? Yeah, I don't know, but she's still on the ballot. So that is going to be a factor.
I should have asked Charles that of because this obviously there was a lot more of this in the primary where on the Republican ticket for governor, Kevin Nicholson had already dropped out and his name was on the ballot. Obviously, there was three of the other top candidates on the Democratic campaign to win the primary for Senate who had all dropped out, were still on the ballot. Of why, like, people still vote for people who they know have actually dropped out of the race, but that's probably a different topic for a different day. But surprising there, depend, because I, you know, it's interesting to me, at least if we look at the landscape of ads, and you're right, I feel like the ads for Mandela's campaign have been positive, and I have not seen that many scary, angry, rile you up ads attacking Ron Johnson. At least I haven't. I've seen
There's been some, but I've seen
a lot for Tim Michaels as far as he, you know, if you're gay, he doesn't want you to leave your house. They're tracking. You know, there's more of those, that kind of tactics in the campaign. And yet, I don't know if that means it hasn't been working, that he keeps edging up. And where do you make of where we were at with the governor's campaign?
Yeah, I think part of the strategy, you know, following the primary with these, you know, challengers, whether it's Barnes or Michaels, you know, they weren't that well known, you know, at that part of the race. Even Barnes as the lieutenant governor, I think there was more than 40% of voters who did not have an opinion of him in that August poll. So I think the strategy clearly, you know, from both incumbents has been to drive those unfavorable numbers, those negative numbers. And as people are getting to know Tim Michaels or Mandela Barnes, you know, they're getting to know them in a negative light and forming their opinions in that way. So I think that has certainly been, you know, part of the strategy from the Evers camp as well. You know, part of what I'm doing as I research this governor's race is I took a look back at the final pre-election poll from 2018 between Tony Evers and Scott Walker. And so we just saw the poll results between Evers and Michaels are 48-48. The poll results from the final pre-election poll in 2018 was 47-47.
Jeez.
And so I tried to take a look here and go into the differences, you know, kind of between these races and what's changed and what's different. You know, obviously that was a Democratic wave year. You know, Tammy Baldwin won a double digit margin. You know, she I think, you know, independents are always key in Wisconsin. You have to win over independents if you're going to win a statewide election. In the Senate race, Ron Johnson has pretty clear edge with independents. He was up 7% with independents. And I took a look back there at the 2018 rate. Tammy Baldwin is up 22 with independents in the final race. So that's probably, you know, Tammy Baldwin won by almost 11%. I don't think Ron Johnson's going to be winning by 11% next week, even if he is the favorite to win. But in the governor's race too, you know, I think the independent voters were pretty similar. I say one thing that as I'm going through it is pretty pronounced as something different. There is a larger gender gap this year between Democrat and Republican. So there are more women supporting Tony Evers now than supported him in 2018, which is perhaps not surprising.
Not surprising,
considering the abortion issue.
Yeah.
Top of mind for people. Yeah.
And I still think, God, I'm so on edge about this whole thing that it's like we can sit here and analyze it and we can sit here and say, what does it mean? And like we said, all of this money, all of this effort, everyone is trying to get out every single vote in the next 5 days that they can. And as much as we talk about it, I'm not sure. Is there anything you think what do you actually think any campaign could do to make a difference between now and Tuesday?
I mean, it's just turnout. It's the cliche.
Yeah.
The cliche is turnout, but sometimes the cliche is true. You know, you just have to get people to the polls. And I think, you know, we always see Dane County run up huge margins with turnout. You know, I think high turnout elections have historically favored Democrats, but with some of the changing trends and, you know, some of the, I don't know, the exact terminology is escaping me at the moment, but like I think there is more of a thought that higher turnout elections wouldn't benefit Democrats quite as much as it has in the past. With some of the white working class voters who are kind of sometimes on the fence of maybe being part of the election. But, you know, I think it's just going to come down to turnout. And I think, you know, Milwaukee in particular is a place I'm going to be watching, of course,
all right,
because I'm here.
Hold on to that thought. We got to go to commercial. Sorry. All right. Dan Schaefer's here. He'll be here when we get back from commercial. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Our guest this half hour is friend of the show, friend of the network, Dan Schaefer, who is the founder of the Recompopulation Area. It's a great time. It's a great time. Always a great time to subscribe to the Recompopulation Area. Never too late. Never late to that party, right, Dan?
Right, we're putting out a lot of stuff.
I don't know. You and I put out a lot of stuff. Someone texted me this morning, like, how do you have time to do this? I was like, I don't sleep a lot, which is why I'm excited to go on my honeymoon. So, speaking of doing a lot of stuff, you took it upon yourself to, instead of just looking at each poll individually, you have looked at the last four polls to try to find trends when it comes to breakdowns of gender and racial demographics. So what have you found with that?
Yeah, so in each individual Marquette poll, they break things down by race and ethnicity. And because of the demographics of Wisconsin, there's not a huge sample size for, you know, Black voters, Hispanic voters, other non-white voters. So you have to have a little bit larger of a sample size to kind of really understand that, because the margin of error is so high. So what I did was I grouped together all four of the polls taken since the primary to take a look at, you know, where different groups are landing in the polls. So obviously, you know, the Senate race, Mandela Barnes is running to be Wisconsin's first Black senator. And he has huge amounts of support among Black voters. He's at 74% with Black voters in Wisconsin. Ron Johnson is just at 14% with 12% undecided. So there are about as many undecided Black voters in Wisconsin. And again, this is going back from the last four polls. So there might be like some higher undecideds earlier in the cycle. But Ron Johnson just at 14% with Black voters.
Which is so surprising because, you know, he went to Juneteenth. You'd think that... All right. So that's super interesting. How does that change when you look at Tony Evers and Tim Michaels, since they are both white guys?
Yeah. So Tony Evers is at 67%. So okay. Not quite as high as Mandela Barnes, but like most Democrats, he enjoys large majorities among Black voters. And here's what I think is pretty interesting with the rest of that poll, which is that Tim Michaels was at 10%. Joan Begelinger was at 13% among Black voters.
Wow.
So I really don't know what to do with that result. It's very strange.
Very strange.
But I do think, you know, Tim Michaels has been on the stump talking about how he's making inroads with Black voters by showing up in neighborhoods that he is mischaracterizing as the most dangerous. But he... is in these polls, he's not doing well with Black voters. And I think, you know, maybe just hearing the name independent is you know, part of the way people respond to say they're just dissatisfied with both parties. That could just be, you know, a kind of, you know, for lack of a better word, a protest response, right? Saying that you're dissatisfied with both parties. But Evers at 67%, Michaels at 10%, Begelinger at 13% among Black voters when you combine the last four polls in Wisconsin. Very bizarre.
Very bizarre.
The poll also looked at Hispanic voters, and I think that has been increasingly seen as a potential swing group. We saw Hispanic voters shift pretty significantly to the right in 2020. And I think, you know, Republicans have certainly targeted the south side of Milwaukee. They opened up an office there this past year. And so, you know, looking at Hispanic voters, starting with the Senate race, Ron Johnson's doing okay. Like, Mandela Barnes is at 50%. Ron Johnson's at 37%. So I think that's a pretty interesting result. I think both with, you know, and in particular with the Senate race with independents, and I think here with Hispanic voters, you see the... you know, maybe perhaps a response to Biden a little bit more, where Biden has really bad approval ratings with independent voters. And Ron Johnson could perhaps be seen as a check on Biden, right? Obviously, that's less the case in the governor's race, you know, being more of a state-specific polling. And so with that race as well, Tony Evers leads 54% with Hispanic voters, Michaels at 29%. Begelinger at 9% with Hispanic voters. And it's fairly similar with the kind of group together other category, which will include Asian voters, Indigenous people, and other mixed race groups. So, you know, obviously you can't get those results from any one poll. You got to kind of group them together just because of the sample size. But I think pretty interesting. You know, I think we haven't, you know, heard about this maybe quite as much, but you know, Mandela Barnes running to be the first Black senator in the state's history, enjoying huge support with Black voters. You know, we could see if that has an impact on turnout in the city of Milwaukee as we get to the final stages here.
Final stage. Well, Earl Ingram, who leads into our show and also records from Waukesha, has been a, you know, pillar in the north side of Milwaukee. He feels confident that he thinks this is the most organized the north side of Milwaukee has been since 2012, as far as what he's seen and the conversations he's having, what Souls to the Polls is doing, what's Block's doing, as far as sometimes the things that don't poll as well, because obviously in talking to Charles Franklin, they're limited to the people who pick up their phone, right? And so obviously they do a really good job, but there's limitations as far as the accurate information you can get when it comes to polling, just by proxy of, none of us have a lot of landlines. And I don't know about you, but I don't answer numbers that I don't recognize for better or for worse, because they're usually trying to tell me about my car warranty. All right. Well, on the last note, how pumped are you that the Bucks are 7-0?
So I don't know. Pretty great. Best start in team history. I'm excited.
That and Chris Middleton and Connaughton are both still out, right? So we have that kind of record with two of our typical starters.
Yeah, Giannis has been, I think he had scored over 30 points for six games in a row, which, you know, pretty great.
Pretty great. He's amazing. Still find the joy in life outside of politics. All right, Dan Schaefer, well, let me know if you want to come on Tuesday for Election Day and have some fun. Otherwise, we'll catch you later.
Catch you later. I will absolutely join the show on Tuesday.
All right, perfect. All right, this is As Goes Wisconsin. Stay with us.